Us, I think we need to start. Let me once again apologize for the inconvenience caused. Without much ado, can I once again take this opportunity to welcome honourable members who have just joined us from various provinces. For the record, can I ask that they introduce themselves, please? I noted that there's quite a number of people who have just joined us, please.
Good morning, honorable members and colleagues. My name is Sizwe Nene. I'm from the Gauteng Provincial Legislature Saving Portfolio Committee on COGTA.
Thank you. Is he the only one?
Good morning, honourable members and colleagues. I'm Mark Peter Machaka, the legal advisor to the Free State Legislature.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Can I then go to the next item, apologies? For the record, we have an apology from the Deputy Minister, Mapela, who was supposed to be with us, unfortunately. Is not going to be with us, and that Noila is here. We've got also an apology from Honorable Wana, who's not with us. Also, the apology of Honorable Manopole for now. We've got those are the only apologies that I got. Any other apology? In the absence, can I then go to item number 3, continuation of the briefing? Remember, like we said last time, we had the briefing by the Department of COGTA on Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Amendment Bill, of which, as the committee, we deemed it fit that we should extend an invite to the chairs of the portfolio committees from various provinces with the proviso of ensuring that we have a common understanding and a common approach. Then, 4, we are going to deal with the update in terms of submissions. In that meeting, on the 12th, we also agreed to solicit submissions from different stakeholders, would indicate to the House if there's any submission that we got, and based on that, what will be our way forward as the committee. Then the committee will deliberate. Can I then afford Ntate Noila an opportunity to do a briefing to the House? Once again, Ntate Noila, I hope the presentation was circulated up front from what I know. If circulated, it means you would have to do a presentation and not necessarily read it for us. We'll read it for ourselves. Ntate Noila, over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. Dr. Rinaldi Bester is going to make the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair and honorable members. I'll keep it very short. In terms of the existing Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act, or Framework Act as we refer to it in general. Certain things had to be done by certain time frames. For one, the existing tribal authorities had to be reconstituted within a specific time frame. Community authorities were supposed to be disestablished. And then kingship and queenship councils were supposed to be established within specific time frames. Now, I assume that honorable members have read the objects memorandum of this bill also, and it explains very in detail there, but in very easy terms, why these time frames have not been met. The reality is that in respect of traditional councils, the original one-year time frame was never met, and then the time frame was extended in 2009 with an amendment act for a further 7 years. However, the problem with that amendment was that the 7 years was to be calculated from the date of commencement of the original Act and not from the date of commencement of that 2009 Amendment Act, with the result that that time frame actually lapsed in 2011, and therefore traditional councils were not reconstituted in time. It's not that nothing was done about the old tribal authorities. In fact, provinces did attempt to reconstitute. We must remember that implementation in terms of the Framework Act lies with the provinces. And the most provinces, except for the Western Cape, they do have legislation dealing with traditional leadership. The Western Cape, by the way, does not have recognized traditional leaders. In other words, the current Framework Act and also this particular amendment bill, therefore, does not apply, really, in the Western Cape because there are no recognized traditional leaders. The problem with the that we identified, the problems, various problems, with the attempt to reconstitute traditional councils was that, in some instances, these tribal authorities were just not reconstituted at all. In other instances where they were reconstituted, it took place after the expiry of the time frame that is provided for in terms of the law. In some instances, provinces did not comply with their own legislation, the requirements in terms of their own laws. Members who are familiar with traditional leadership will also know that the current law requires a formula to be issued dealing with the number of members of traditional councils, how it is constituted. Now, provinces, the majority of them did not issue such a formula. Furthermore, this formula is supposed to be issued in accordance with guidelines that the minister issued in 2011, which we have replaced since then to address some shortcomings. And formulas that were issued were not in compliance with those guidelines. All of this resulted in legal uncertainty as to the status of tribal authorities that were supposed to have been reconstituted as traditional councils. The challenge that came in now, in this particular year, is if you read the legislation, you will note, honourable members, that all the structures must be aligned. The term of office must be aligned to that of the National House of Traditional Leaders. The term of the National House expired now in August this year. So because of the legal uncertainty about the current status and the fact that we believe that the legislative enabling provision in terms of which traditional councils could be reconstituted has lapsed, there's a big challenge and a problem as to what legal instrument will you be using to reconstitute them and to align the term of office with that of the National House. I must say at this stage, all the issues that I've raised in respect to traditional councils and the other ones that we will just talk about briefly now are addressed in the Traditional and Khoisan Leadership Bill, which is currently before Parliament. It's been introduced in Parliament, was introduced in September 2015. It's still with the Portfolio Committee. They are at the very last stages now with that bill. They've done a very thorough exercise. But because we know that that bill will go through a very thorough process also when it reaches the National Council of Provinces, we need an immediate, urgent interim measure to deal with the reconstitution of these councils. Therefore, we wish to amend the current law just to make sure that these councils can be reconstituted so that there's legal certainty about their status and so they can continue to function in terms of the national law as well as the provincial legislation. Chair and honourable members, the same kind of a problem exists in respect of kingship and queenship councils. In the case of the kingship and queenship councils, the law determines that within 1 year after the recognition of a kingship or a queenship, the council must be established. Now, the president recognized kingships in 2010, and that time frame has lapsed, obviously, in 2011, and none of those kingship councils were established. One of the reasons for that is that the law requires that a formula be issued to determine the number of members of kingship and queenship councils, but it also requires that the kingships must be consulted. And this is a lot easier said than done. There are many challenges in practice to get kingships together, forums together, to be able to consult them. By the way, the department has since then, in the last few years, actually done the consultations. There's a new queenship that was added in 2016, the Balubedu queenship, or more better known by people as the Mujachi queenship. Even in the case of that queenship, which is quite new, the 1 year time frame has now lapsed. So the kingship councils and queenship councils cannot be established unless the time frame is officially extended. Then, honourable members, as far as community authorities is concerned, it's a different kind of a challenge. They were supposed to be disestablished. Now, the national law, the Framework Act, says that they must be disestablished in terms of provincial legislation. And there was a specific time frame also of 5 years. The problem is that the provinces, I think, except for the Northwest, they have not made provision for such disestablishment in the provincial laws. So they have not met that requirement, and they have therefore not met the particular time frame. Now, this bill, amendment bill that is in front of the House, intends to, first of all, extend these time frames that I have referred to so that government and more specifically the provinces will be in a position to reconstitute traditional councils so that kingship and queenship councils can be established. And then, apologies, as far as community authorities concerned, the bill brings in a procedure that can be used by provinces for the disestablishment of community authorities. In other words, in cases where provinces have not made provision in their legislation for it, this bill brings in a procedure, provides a procedure that they can use for that purpose. Also, as far as that formula is concerned that I've referred to, we have noticed that in provinces where they did issue a formula to determine the number of members of traditional councils, the formula is basically exactly the same as the guidelines issued by the minister. So we brought in a provision here to say, look, in the case where you have not issued the formula, the guidelines that the minister issued recently can be used as if it is the formula. So, Chairperson, we regard these amendments, obviously they are quite urgent. As I say, the time frame of the National House, the term of office has expired in August. Now, the new National House is currently being established. Provinces are busy establishing their provincial houses to elect members to the National House. But it also means that these other structures we need to get in place as quickly as possible. And therefore, we need this interim measure by amending the current law to extend the time frames. This bill was, of course, well consulted with the implementers of the legislation, which is the provinces, at various forum, and it was also consulted with the houses of traditional leaders. The National Assembly passed this bill on 22 August, and we are now in the hands of the National Council of Provinces chair to hopefully pass this bill as quickly as possible so that we can have the legislative enabling provision to do all these reconstitutions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I'm not sure from the side of the department if there's any additions. In the absence, can we couple this item with the submissions so that as and when we decide on the way forward, we are able to make an informed decision? Can I ask Honorable Manel, Mr. Manel, just to take us on board on submissions that we received quickly without necessarily reading them?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just in summary, there are two submissions that we've received with regard to the governance framework bill.
Is he audible?
Okay. Members, thank you very much, Chair. We'll recall that on the 12th of September, we had a meeting where the department briefed the committee on the object of the bill. On the 16th of September, the committee received some submissions from community groups that are asking for public participation. Number one, their concern is following the meeting that the committee had with the department, they are requesting the committee to consider the options of public hearing. Suffice to say, if you look at their demand, it's around public participation in legislative process. That when the committee passes the bill, they need to submit their demand through consultation with the committee and they make submission to the committee. Thank you, Chairperson.
I think copies of the request have been circulated. Can I then afford members of the committee to make comments, clarity seeking, and also chairs from various committees? You can engage with both presentations, please. Can I note Honorable George? Honorable Chetty? Honorable Engelbrecht, Honorable Muteto, and Honorable Zekine. With that sequence, please.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just want to start off firstly with this issue around the advert that was placed in the Sunday Times, a decision that the committee had taken 3 weeks ago. And this is the continuation of that meeting. Chairperson, I want to place on record our disappointment and our objection to the fact that this article and this advert appeared in the paper on Sunday, and the closing day for submissions was Monday. Chairperson, we can't expect the people of this country to take us serious as if we ourselves don't take them serious. We cannot give them 24 hours in which to respond to an issue that has serious consequences and concerns that they have already raised. In the interim, we have listened to the speaker highlighting our concerns, and we want to note it there. Furthermore, Chairperson, we believe it is also an injustice to the provinces. And we're also concerned as to how is it that we're now going to have presentations or pronouncements by them, yet this only appeared on Sunday. I come from KZN. Participation. I would listen to our representatives on the portfolio committees, and they themselves have not received this. So I'm concerned, Chairperson, that it seems that in the department's haste in wanting to regulate certain irregularities and the fact that they now want to legitimize those councils that were not reconstituted via this process to have it legitimized. And I want to place that on record, Chairperson.
Noted. Honorable Engelbrecht.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I just have a few questions. The first one is that it appears that many of the traditional councils and many of the kingships and queenships are therefore illegal currently, according to the law. My question, therefore, relates to the financial implications to these kingships, queenships, and these councils. If they are illegal in terms of the law, what is happening to the financial contribution that our country is paying towards these councils, kingships, and queenships? Because surely then that is also illegal. So that's the first question. The second one is I cannot understand what the urgency is of the department to have this bill passed urgently. It has been 7 years, and the traditional councils have not been disestablished. It's been 7 years, the kingships and the queenships have not been correctly established. There has been no apparent or concerted effort from them to fall into legislation. What makes the department think that by extending this bill in an urgent manner, and in this urgency, it appears that public participation and proper consultation with community is not taking place? So what is making this department want to rush through this bill when I cannot see that extending it by a year is going to make any difference to the legality of the traditional councils or the kingships and the queenships? So if I can get clarity in terms of that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mteto.
Thank you, thank you, Chairperson. Traditional bill, it's a very important issue in our traditional leadership. It cannot be rushed without a proper consultation with the people who are directly infected by this bill. I therefore propose that a proper consultation to some of the provinces like KwaZulu-Natal, Western Cape, Northwest and Bulukwane, who are governed also by the traditional leaders, a proper consultation must be made. Thank you.
Those are the views. You are noted, Honorable Mukwe.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the challenge is that we seem to be extending time frames. Time frames will also probably not be fulfilled, or they will not be met, then we'll continue to extend again. I think probably the challenge should be, or the engagement should be, on regulatory approach to say exactly what are the stumbling blocks for the bill or for the law to be implemented, rather than extending the dates only. Ourselves as Gauteng, we are having two public hearings next week, and then I think from there we'll be able to find out exactly what could be the source of the delay. But I'm saying the issue of time frame should not be more focused on than what are the problems of delaying the implementation. Thanks.
The indication, also the Western Cape has indicated their interest to host the public hearing also. Honorable Mukwele, Honorable Kimbi will be the last.
Chair, thank you very much. Like initially, we requested that we must involve our communities or relevant stakeholders on time, and it cannot be that we need to rush into implementing the bill, whereas you can even see the participation of the provinces, especially those that are mostly affected by the system. They are not even, like my province is not even here, they didn't even comply in terms of the regulations. So I'm suggesting that, Chair, we give am I protected?
You're protected.
Thank you. I'm suggesting that we give this time for public proper public participation. When we have proper public participation, will be able to even know where the challenges are and how best can we overcome those challenges, assisting the department and the traditional leadership in general. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Kimbi, you'll be the last on this.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Actually, Chair, I want to check whether is it the provincial legislature want this public participation, or is it the people of the Western Cape who want that? Because I know that there is no traditional
house. It is the provincial department that has requested that the department should go and brief the department. Yes. No, it's fine. You are protected, Honorable Tim. You have the right to ask anything within this meeting, especially where I'm chairing.
Yeah, that's why, Chair, I'm asking that, because I'm part of traditional leaders of this province. We tried to talk to the Premier, and today he's talking about he wants to be a briefing by the traditional bill.
Maybe go to the caucus.
It's fine. Can I then afford the department to respond to questions? Ndadinwaila?
Thanks very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Firstly, Honorable Chair, I wanted to indicate that, perhaps let me indicate that we have the traditional and Khoisan leadership bill, which is dealing with substantive issues. This is just a technical amendment of an extension. It doesn't deal with substantive issues. And for example, the first question from Honorable Engelbracht, the issue of many of these structures, King's council, traditional council, king's councils have not established yet. So there's no financial implications. Just to clarify that. In terms of traditional councils, if they are not constituted, they remain traditional authorities. And the fund, the finance that is used, it's used for tribal authorities. And, you know, because they've been there from time immemorial. They are not just new structures as well. And the issue of, mainly it was the issue of rushing it. Why do we rush it? Let's give it time. It's just a technical amendment that speaks to extension of time frames. And as we have indicated that in September 2011, some provinces had not complied with legislation. The question that was saying, why don't we look at the stumbling blocks and those sort of issues? We are definitely also looking at those stumbling blocks. And one of the things, if we don't reconstitute, for example, recently, the provincial houses have just been constituted. And several pieces of legislation in different provinces are not aligned to the National Framework Act. So the bill, the main bill that deals with substantive issues, is dealing with those issues of alignment so that all the houses can be aligned to the National House as well. But this one is just, for example, an issue of tribal, community authorities. Community authorities has been established through the British law called South Africa Act of 1909, where the hierarchies were introduced for the first time. The first one was the Supreme Chief was the Governor General, and the Paramount Chief were supposed to be the kings in South Africa. And then below that, senior traditional leader, et cetera, et cetera. And then community authorities were created from that time, and many of those kinds of structures. So the disestablishment, it's a process of transforming these old structures that were established in the past. So I'll ask my colleagues here who are with me to come in if I left out something. Dr. Bester, do you want to comment?
Dr. Bester, anything?
Thank you.
While you are still coming up, can I also make a request based on the submission that we got, where in terms of the provision of Section 72 of the Constitution, NCOP has got an obligation to also ensure that we embark on public participation. A request has been posed to us as the committee to say, much as you'll be dealing with an issue of a bill, we are humbly requesting consideration of public participation on this particular bill. What's your take on that?
Jay, thank you. Just a few things that I want to respond to. Honourable Member, I think DJ also referred to the illegal councils or the possibility. I think in our memorandum of objects, we are stating very clearly that there's legal uncertainty as to their status. I think there can be arguments in some instances to say some of the tribal authorities were legally reconstituted, but they may not have met all the requirements. And with all those requirements that I'm referring to, it's actually most of them are requirements in terms of their own provincial legislation that they may not have met. So we want to make sure that there is legal certainty as to the status of them. In fact, Jay, if I just may mention, one of the comments that the Secretariat sent to us from the Land and Accountability Research.
No, I'm referring to these two ones, not that one. Those were submitted to the Portfolio Committee. No, not those two ones.
These are the only two that we received officially.
No. I am referring to the two that Manela referred to, not those two ones. If you check even the dates, they're not aligned with the date of our meeting.
Okay.
Did you circulate? Can you ensure that copies are circulated, please?
Okay, Chair, then if I may continue just on the issue about the Western Cape, just to explain maybe, look, there's like just over 800, more or less 840 recognized senior traditional leaders in the country. And there were 12 kingships and one queenship. In the Western Cape, there is no recognized senior traditional leaders, not a single one. That means that in practice, this particular Framework Act, even though it applies to the whole country, the Western Cape has no, what's the word I'm looking for? They have no worries about implementing it because there are no traditional councils, there are no kingship councils, nothing in the Western Cape. They will, of course, in future, most probably have responsibilities towards the Khoisan when that will maybe becomes law in future. I think the challenge with the urgency, because some members ask about the urgency is really that there's processes that have been put in place, as DJ explained, to make sure that these councils are established and re-established, reconstituted where that is necessary. It's because we want to make sure that there's legal certainty as to their status, and so they can perform their functions and roles in terms of not only the national law, but also the provincial legislation. We want to make sure of that. So the people who are implementing this, namely the provinces, they can do nothing at the moment as far as reconstitution is concerned because the National Framework Act prevails because it sets norms and standards. It prevails over the provincial laws. So the provinces cannot extend the time frames. Only the national law can do that. And maybe just to go back to what I said in the previous meeting, when the Traditional Khoisan Leadership Bill was tabled in 2015, we thought that by now it should have been law maybe, and it addresses all the problems. It's when we realized it's not going to make it that we said, let's do this and deal with the interim situation. You will notice from this bill, we are only basically dealing with a time frame issue. We are not dealing with other challenges that we are well aware of because those are thoroughly addressed in the other piece of legislation. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Any follow-up or any clarity-seeking questions before we conclude this matter?
Thanks very much, Honourable Chair. The issue of consultation, the two documents here, firstly, you know, as we look at these communities, they are not traditional communities, firstly, and then the other one is talking about land issues, related issues. However, because this is about time frames, consultations have to do with substantive issues and which have no bearing on the extension of time frames. So I do not know, you know, what would be the take of the committee with regard to this, because if consultation broadly, the traditional and the Khoisan bill consultations were done extensively on the substantive issues. And
are you aware of the Lamosa judgment? Okay. My apologies to interject you. I'm raising this thing because whatever that is happening in the NA, it's not automatic that we endorse or rubber stamp. NCOP is a house on its own. Hence, the Lamosa judgment was very clear, explicitly clear to say, much as there's been public participation from the side of NA, that doesn't necessarily mean NCOP would automatically overlook the public participation. I'm just saying there's a judgment for that matter. You may proceed.
The point I was making, Honorable Chair, was that when the portfolio committee processes are concluded, it is then going to be referred. And then you will then deal with the consultative processes on the substantive issues. But this one, which is talking about extension of time frames, which is not looking at the substantive issues, I'm just saying that, you know, these two things are dealing with the same thing. The other one deals with the substantive issues. And so, thanks very much.
Okay. Honorable Mukwele, I think you'll be the one then, Honorable Masanga. You'll be the last on this, then we conclude on this matter.
Thank you very much, Chair. I hear what the HOD is saying in terms of trying to corner us into allowing
the process to be concluded without following proper procedures. I think, Chair, it means then as institutions, being the department and NCOP or rather Parliament, we somehow we leave a gap for other things. That is why when we have to deal with bills that are technical, legislatively we are required to do public participation in a way. But when you go down to our ordinary people, they won't even understand the substance of the bill by virtue of being we need to do public participation. Like we have the submissions before us here that are totally not addressing the matter that we are addressing now. It means there is something that we are not doing as institutions that needs to educate our communities out there. So I'm requesting, Chair, that let's follow procedures that the HOD, let us not assume that if we as a committee take decision not to do public participation or to do public participation, we are cornering the department in a way. But let us allow the proper processes. Maybe we need to, through you, Chair, have a time frame to say we open public participation submissions up until this time, and if there is nothing that comes forth before the committee, this is what is going to happen. And again, I will request that the chairperson be our mouthpiece as a committee to say, maybe have some media statement outlining the importance of this bill to be passed. And then at least maybe the public will have an idea as to what are we dealing with. And then when people are not submitting or there are queries or disputes from outside, we will then be able as a committee to have something that we have done. That's my submission, Chair.
Okay. Perhaps maybe if I can just get clarity in that before we can conclude and give guidance perhaps for this matter. Already the Gauteng, it is saying next week they're having public hearing. I'm not sure what does that mean. Does it mean there's been constraints in terms of communication around this? Why operate it outside? What is expected? Because this is a Section 76B, you know. So I'm just asking myself, how did it happen? Because I thought we would centralize coordination so that at the end of the day, whatever that we come up with, it's properly communicated for it to be properly enacted, you know. Also, the province of Western Cape has also suggested dates from their side to say would wish to have these dates. So I just want to get clarity from your side. What's your take now that provinces themselves are already coming up on board? What's your take?
Honorable Chair, we are not aware of that. Because as soon as this thing moved from cabinet to parliament, we don't get involved. Our role is supporting the process, the parliamentary processes.
Okay.
Yes.
No, it's right. Honourable members, can I give Honourable Mhlanga as the last person, then we conclude on this matter.
Thank you, Chair. To be offered the opportunity as the last one to perhaps seek clarity, seeking question on the bill. Chair, perhaps my question would be just to the director. I want to know in regard to their background on their memorandum. They have indicated that the bill since 2003 was always timely and was extended. They or they did go all the processes all from 2007, passed the bill, but processes that were not being implemented by the provinces as advocated for by the bill. But therefore, now up to today, 2017, they are coming again back to us asking an extension of time. My question would be, Chair, what assurance will be given to us that if we extend this time, because now it's been maybe three times of consecutive time, what surety will they give us that if we give them the extension of time, then within some few months or this time frame, all provinces will be established, this traditional council or queen councils? That would be my first question, Chair. Perhaps, maybe for that question alone, maybe I will contravene myself if I will ask another one. Thank you, Chair.
I think this is the last question, then we come up with a way forward.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. I think it's true that, you know, if we are asking for extension and without any guarantee, what we have done, because we have also noted that this has been a problem. Some provinces will not do this because of the concurrent situation. This time round, we are coordinating, working with the provincial officials, and we also interface with MINMEC, of which the Honourable Chair is a member of the MINMEC, where the Minister and the MEC is. We take it through that process as well, and ensuring that there is uniformity in terms of the reconstitution process. We got a service provider that was helping us, who went to all the provinces, taking the people through the pieces of legislation and what is expected. So the ground has been prepared, and we'll be supporting that process, and we'll be leading from the front, from national level. That is the assurance that we have, that at least we will be able to get the provinces comply. In the past, we didn't do that. We went to the provinces when they requested us to go and support them. This time, we are leading. At least we presented twice at MINMEC, where the MECs are, and they are endorsing this process. We have outlined five phases. The first phase was to constitute the provincial houses, and the national house was supposed to have been constituted by the 16th of August. And we couldn't, because provinces had challenges with our support. We've been supporting them. On the 19th, on the 18th, we are going to, as official, this team is going to Northern Cape to go and support Northern Cape. It is the only province that is going to finalize the constitution of the provincial house on the 19th. And after that, all provinces would have constituted through our support. And then on the 9th of November, we are constituting the national house. So even the traditional councils were going to follow the same. I think we are left with step number five. Is it? Number five, yes.
Okay.
Thanks.
Honourable members, I think we need to conclude on this matter, but before that, can I afford the Temanel just to clarify this discrepancy around the issue of the advert, please?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, before I just, in a form of introduction, say there's been a serious problem with regard to the approval of financial funding. We're supposed to see that financial application from management point of view will take 7 days to approve, but the political application that we submit to the office of the House Chairperson and the Chief Whip will take only 24 hours. But noting that you've got, you know, visitors, Chair, with your permission, Chairpersons from the provinces, the department, I will make an appeal that today we prepare a report, and then that report can be tabled to the committee so that members can pick up those.
Where are you now?
Chair, I'm just saying.
No, I'm talking about the advert.
The advert. Chair, we submitted the funding application on the 29th.
So there was a delay.
Yes, Chair.
Thanks very much. Can you then come to the issue of way forward on the basis of this matter? A popular view, with due respect, under the Noel, is that there should be public participation. And I wouldn't just rule it out of order. I think the sense in it, there's a concern, and I think it's based on a number of issues. Even if you are dealing with issues of extensions, but go and observe what transpired in various provinces to an extent that other issues that happened in other provinces had serious implications to an extent that the legitimacy of the structures that you are referring to are also questionable. And I think it will also give us an opportunity as the committee not to be seen as not doing our own oversight over the department. I think a popular view is to ensure that we also are setting ourselves that at the end of the day that there's a guarantee that work is going to be done in terms of ensuring that as and when we get the mandate from our communities, we are able to ensure that the bill itself is enacted, having a full blessing of our communities, because no government can justly claim authority unless it's based on the will of the people. So based on that, I'm going to ask Ndate Manele just to outline the latter part of how best can we deal with this matter without really consuming more time. What is it that we can do? There's a committee tomorrow of the select committee. There's also an indication from Gauteng that already there are preparations for next week for public hearings. We are aware of of Western Cape. What is it that we need to do? Can we just come up with a way forward? Then we take it from there.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, noting the committee decision around this matter, administratively what we'll do after this meeting, we'll craft a committee program in consultation with the chairperson and ensure that in tomorrow's meeting of security, the committee members adopt that legislative program. Secondly, Chair, will ensure that the chairpersons from the provinces, immediately after the program is being adopted, the program is sent to the province.
Can I get an indication? Specifically, are we going to deal with all provinces, or do you suggest provinces that we say for public participation, let's target specifically these provinces? An indication of provinces. Honorable Gumbi.
Chairperson, I think we need to identify some provinces, more especially the provinces which have a house of traditional leaders, councils. I would suggest that Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, Northwest, we can add others.
Dr. Noila, what's your advice? Just a second.
I was about to suggest that, you know, along the lines that the provinces that he's mentioning, they've got many traditional communities and the structures. Gauteng has got only, it doesn't have a house of traditional leaders. It only has two traditional leaders. And I'm not saying they should not be consulted. And Western Cape, as we have said, so that the others have got many traditional leaders. In this order, KZN has got the highest number, followed by Eastern Cape, followed by Limpopo, followed by Mpumalanga Northwest. These have got the largest number of traditional leaders. And then Free State and Northern Cape have got lesser numbers, 12 and 8 respectively.
So it's almost every province. Can we then say that we'll strike a balance? Where we need to have two, we'll just be flexible. I wanted us to be having a common understanding so that tomorrow, as and when we embark on it, we are not going to see ourselves really moving poles apart. So it's very clear tomorrow we adopt it, it means we are going to realign our program to give priority and preference to this public participation processes. I think that is what we'll be doing. In that note, is there any other input? In the absence, can I ask Honorable Whip of the committee just to say a word of thanks on behalf of the reps from various provinces?
Thank you, Chair. On behalf of the Select Committee of Traditional Affairs, let me take this opportunity that is given by the chairperson of the committee to me to thank especially the honorable members that are coming from the province, the department, the staff, especially our own staff, who have done a lot to make sure that each and every information that is necessary we received. By those words, thank you very much. I also thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I think this is one of the approaches that would be embarking upon, especially reps from various provinces. We are envisaging that it's taking to visit the provinces from time to time. Mema Tsepo, you are aware that we went to Free State with regard to Section 139 in Mafube, Masilonyane. But from time to time, we'd really wish to see the visibility of portfolio committees, especially as and when we have our own oversight in various provinces. I think it would be more helpful so that we really become more familiar with the frustrations and challenges that we are faced with from time to time and really work out a plan that will be more sustainable, because we still maintain that South Africa is not a federal state, but it's a unitary state. In that note, the meeting is officially adjourned. Thank you very much.
Okay.